The state health department urged school administrators this week in a letter to use every tool available to help stop the unprecedented level of COVID spread. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Some recommendations on their list included make masks mandatory, use a state testing program, hold vaccine clinics at your school. We're discussing all the latest guidance with a family medicine physician who's fielding your questions. What do you want to know about masking, isolating, testing, vaccinations, boosters? 800-642-1234. Dr. Patricia Tejas-Giron is an associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She co-chairs the Latino Health Council. Dr. Tejas-Giron, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it's been almost exactly 1 year since we last spoke, and I think it would be good to just take a moment to take stock about what you've gone through as a family physician. What have you been reflecting on this year, and where have you focused your energy?
Yes, it has been quite almost 2 years for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of this pandemic, obviously, we didn't have a lot of information about this situation. Almost 2 years later, we know a little bit more, but there are still things that are changing almost every year, every day. Mm-hmm. So as a physician, it has been challenging to be able to continue providing care for our patients. As a community activist, it has been amazing to be able to educate our community and to see that they are coming forward and being vaccinated and being protected, but there is still a lot to do.
I imagine you have so many conversations with your parents about patients about what COVID is and what the vaccine will do. What are some of the common questions that really surface in these conversations with patients?
Yeah, I think that very valid questions, particularly at the beginning when the vaccine came to be. We all thought that it was way too quick. For me, it was a miracle. But it was right for patients to wonder, right? And I think it's good that they were wondering why it was so quick, if they were safe, if they will have long-term consequences. A lot of misinformation over the, the different Facebook and everywhere about what the vaccines will do to you. Hopefully, after a lot of education that we have been doing, these questions are less and less. Now we are getting questions about why so many vaccines. Mm. But I think that once you talk to people about why, they are okay with it.
You know, there has been so much mixed information about masking and this masking guidance and the CDC shifting on masking guidance as more information, more research comes out. What are concerns that you have about the guidance on masking?
Again, I think we need to remind the audience that this is something new, right? Mm-hmm. So even the medical community, we are learning as we go. I think that with this new variant, we learn that it is so contagious that some of the previous instructions that we gave about masking were not doing it. So we realized that the cloth mask is not helping to protect against this new variant. So I think that that is where CDC reviewed this and has new mandates even about the mask.
Well, let's get into some nuance here. And our family bought these KN95 masks that we are seeing out there more and more, some being given out in Milwaukee. And there's this engraved marking on the side of the mask. I'm looking at it now, reading it. GB2626-2006 on the mask. What should I know about these numbers and about KN95 masks?
Well, the main difference that the audience needs to know is how these masks are certified. So the N95 are masks that have been certified in the United States. The KN95 are masks that are certified in China. Very interesting to know that even though the N95 has been certified in the United States, they are being produced in China. But it is the process of how these masks were approved, the materials and all that, that make them different. That doesn't mean that the KN95 does not work. It is just where they were approved. But for the most, the comparisons that I have read about both masks are very, very close. The other difference is the actual shape and how you keep the mask on, which also makes a little bit of a difference. So obviously the N95 we use in medical facilities, and they have some strips that you put around your head that keep it in place closer to your face with a better seal. Some of the KN95, they have the earlobes that sometimes do not fit you very well. And in general, masks, the very important part of masking is wearing them appropriately and that they have a good seal in your face.
A really good fit, yes. I just want to reintroduce you here. We're talking with Dr. Patricia Tejas-Giron, who is a family medicine physician in Madison, updating us on the latest guidance in the pandemic, fielding your questions about masking, about isolation, about testing, about vaccines. 800-642-1234. How should we be disposing of these masks? And, you know, we want that tight seal, but how long can we wear the mask? Can you give us some recommendations there?
Very good questions, because I don't think that we have been doing this correctly. And it's because in the beginning, we didn't have enough PPE. So even for the medical professionals, we had to wear the mask, more days, and we had to keep it very clean. And we had some ways that we did that. But now that we are having a little bit more access, we really recommend for this mask to be used only for the one day, depending where you work. Like for us, obviously, we have to be in the clinic and wear it for about 8 to 10 hours, and the same thing in the hospitals. We do not want to be using the same mask over and over, because obviously they are contaminated and they cannot be, clean and reused. So it is best you put your mask on very carefully. You adjust it to your face. You do not touch it frequently. You remove it from the strips or the earlobes. And then if possible, you put it in a little plastic bag and then throw it in the garbage, not in the street.
There, you mentioned 8 to 10 hours wearing the mask, and there's been this question circulating among parents. If your child is wearing a mask all day at school, can masks interfere with a child's lung development?
Not at all. So I know there have been a lot of misconceptions about I cannot breathe, the brain is losing oxygen. Actually not. Most studies have shown that that is not true at all.
What about surgical masks? Because oftentimes you're seeing the younger kiddos wearing those surgical masks, and sometimes the fit is right, sometimes it's slipping down below their nose. What would you recommend there for the younger children?
Again, let's make clear to the audience that any mask is better than no mask. To start with that, right? If you only have access to a cloth mask and that's all you have, it's better than none. However, if you get a surgical mask, but you have a good fit, the good fit is what is clue on all of this. And it's amazing that after 2 years, I still see people that do not know how to wear a surgical mask. And we had to wear that until recently at work. And believe me, I put it on in the morning and it sticks with me even after I have to talk to every single patient. It is still in my nose and it's still covering my mouth. So it's very important to teach your kids to also wear appropriate size mask and how to wear it.
We have family medicine physician Dr. Patricia Tejas-Giron on the spread of COVID in our communities, the guidance, how to wear masks. Do you think changing quarantine guidelines from 10 days of isolation to 5 is a good idea? What questions do you have about getting a COVID booster or mixing and matching? Is there a loved one who hasn't been vaccinated? What are those conversations like? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Tejas Giron here on the Ideas Network. We're trying to provide accurate, timely information about COVID and the public health guidance aiming to rein in the Omicron variant in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkent. Here is CDC Director Rochelle Walensky on Good Morning America this week explaining isolation and what happens 5 days after symptoms.
What we say at day five then is, are your symptoms gone? Are you feeling better? Is your cough gone, sore throat gone? And if so, then it is safe to go out if you are wearing a mask all the time. And that means not going out to restaurants, not going out to gyms, not going in visiting grandma.
Join in with your questions on isolation, testing, vaccines, boosters, 800-642-1234. We have family medicine physician Dr. Patricia Tejas Giron with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Eleni in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Eleni. What is your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. One shot wasn't enough. You had to have a second shot. Now you have to have the booster. What science is behind that? Are they taking blood tests from people and finding that two shots aren't enough, so therefore you have to have a booster? Why do we have to have that?
Why is the booster needed? Yes, Dr. Tejas Giron.
Yes, thank you for the question again. I love people that are really aware of what is going on and questioning things correctly. I'm with you, and that's why we keep on following the science. So yes, we have a very large group of scientists around the world that are monitoring the immunity that we get from the vaccine. So if in the beginning it was 95% and they start seeing that it starts coming down, I don't know you, but if I'm told, do you want to have 90% or do you want to have 95%? I want to have 95%. So they are basing these decisions on when we need a booster based on the studies that they are doing. So they realize that at 6 months, the immunity starts wearing off a little bit, and that's why they are recommending the booster. So to be honest, to me, this has been so devastating that if they ask me to have a booster every 3 months, I'm going to do it because I do not want to have this, and I do not want to have the long-term consequences of COVID.
Just a follow-up here. If a person didn't get their second dose of the vaccine series in the 3 to 4 week recommended time frame, what do you tell that patient to do?
You just go get your second one.
Okay.
The first one gives you some protection, but if you get the second one, you will still get very, very high protection.
And when do those boosters come? Because that guidance has also shifted. It's become sooner than 6 months. Is that correct?
I think that recommendation came about with the new Omicron and trying to protect people even more. So we said 6 months. Now we are saying 5 months, particularly for kids, because for kids, we were waiting for the authorization for the vaccine. So again, we have to remember that this is something new, and every day we learn something new about this virus.
All right, Eleni, thank you for that question. Anissa now in Black Creek. Anissa, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I have two little kids, ages 2 and 4, and my 4-year-old is in preschool. And talking with his pediatrician, we talked about in the beginning part of this pandemic that the benefit of him going to school outweighs the risk of being included in a mask optional environment. So since he is 4 years old, I have a couple of questions. One, does that still hold true with the Omicron variant where, a mask is better than no mask, but how effective is that if students around him are not wearing masks? And the second one is if you have any perspective of the vaccine, when it's going to be available for the younger age groups, because for us, it's still very much a pandemic that worries us until they can get their vaccine.
Oh, Anissa, such urgent questions. Thank you for those. Dr. Tejas Giron.
Yes, thank you for being a concerning parent and being ready for the vaccines. The scientists are definitely working, probably 24 hours on this, and we are hoping that soon we are going to see some information about that. I am actually happy that they are taking their time and making sure that they are going to have the correct dose. So hopefully soon we will learn more about that. Regarding the masking and the going to school, I agree with your pediatrician. Our kids need to be around other kids. I think the besides the medical consequences of this virus, the social consequences of this pandemic are going to be really disastrous if we don't pay attention to it. So I think if you send your kid with a mask and the school tries to keep the mask with the other kids and watch hands and the distance, we are going to be okay. So I think you're doing the right thing for your kids.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Patricia Tejas Giron, who is a family medicine physician, as we discuss the latest guidance and how to prevent the spread of COVID, fielding your questions as well at 800-642-1234. There is a fear with that new shortened isolation period, CDC guidance, that people will leave isolation while potentially still be infectious. Can you explain that a little more about when a person should be isolating and for how long?
Thank you for the question, because I think the problem with this new recommendation has been not doing enough education. I think we need to educate the public. So we are saying that you are very contagious even 2 days prior to you having symptoms, and then 3 days after you have the symptoms. So 5 days, you still have some risk of being contagious. But if you are completely like getting better from your symptoms, you are not coughing, you have a very good mask with a very good fit, then 5 days should be okay. But you have to be very honest with yourself and say, I do not have any more symptoms. I'm going to be wearing this mask. I am not going to be going to places where there are a lot of people that I could, give this to. So just, we need to count on the audience, on the public, to really take these considerations so that we can move on.
Here's what's unclear to me is when is an asymptomatic person able to resume normal activities or what you do in that situation?
So again, if you are asymptomatic and you did it because you were in contact with someone or someone required you to do that and you are positive, you start counting 5 days from that positive if you don't have any symptoms. If through these 5 days you develop symptoms, you have to kind of start over. And then what happens is that after those 5 days, then you have to mask and try not to be on places everywhere, right? And that will be for like the 10 days that just to be isolation at home.
Here is another question that's come up recently, especially in our state legislature. What does CDC guidance say if someone already has had COVID? Are they protected by natural immunity or should they still get their COVID vaccine series?
Very frequent question. The answer is get your vaccines. We don't know how long the natural immunity lasts. And in some patients, it lasts 3 days. And in some patients, it lasts 6 months. You cannot know that other than if you are doing a test for antibodies every day, which we do not recommend. Mm. So the best is to get your vaccines.
Gary now in Milwaukee. Hi, Gary. What is your question?
Well, hello. See, I think you may have just touched on the answer to my question, but my question is, I heard it discussed more frequently that the best form of immunity we can have, at least going into the future right now, is to be both vaccinated and to have experienced a breakthrough infection of Omicron. As far as our ability to fight off future infections of COVID, that would be about as good as it can get. I mean, I even heard that yesterday on the national broadcast from NPR. And I'm kind of wondering where your guest feels this conversation is going in terms of maybe the beneficial effects of Omicron, given that it's more contagious but less dangerous and may actually boost, you know, our immunity levels.
Gary, thank you. And short on time, let's get back here to Dr. Tayasi-Rhone.
The answer is, I think, it's too soon to really know. So I will not go and get exposed on purpose to this virus. I will still get my vaccines. I will still protect myself and my family and wait to have more evidence about that natural immunity.
Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Patricia Tayasi-Rhone is a family medicine physician, associate professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Ahead this hour, you have a line to Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski on what is ahead for farmers this year, greatest challenges with your family farm, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.